This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guests on Off the Shelf are Mary Davey. She is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the General Services Administration, and Mark Day, Deputy Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service, also at GSA, of course. So, guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation today, and you know, and we're going to talk about what you guys got going on, and I know you guys got a lot going on. It's a big program, and a lot of touching of IT across the government enterprise, the federal enterprise. So, but first, Mary, can you talk about ITS and just your mission, where you are, market share, all those wonderful things.
All the things that we're talking about. That's right. So, GSA ITS plays quite a unique role in government for federal, state, local, and tribal, actually, acquisition for IT products, services, solutions. And right now, about a quarter of all federal IT spend flows through ITS contracts and programs. And that's through a variety of like telecommunications contracts, the GSA Schedule 70 contract, which is our largest by far in the organization, our government-wide acquisition contracts, and I'll try not to use too many acronyms.
We have a very sophisticated audience.
That's right. They
Mary,
all know GWAC speak, right?
Right, absolutely.
We run the identity management program for government. We have a, what we call a smart buy or software strategic sourcing program. We have programs that support cloud and mobility, wireless. So we say just about anything IT you can purchase through ITS and GSA, and that's, you know, that's what our mission is, and that's what we were designed to do. And so we work very closely with agencies and with industry to put in place not just contracts but really programs and solutions and expertise to support the buying of that $80 billion of IT in government.
Right. So and what we were talking earlier before the show, it's about $23 billion,
yeah,
right? Total.
Yep.
That's a big number.
It's a big number.
I want to talk a little bit about 2013. You know, that's a big number, but I know you had some major accomplishments last year. Some like your mobile device strategic sourcing, things
yep.
like that. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah. So last year in 2013, we did have a lot going on, and that seems to happen, you know, every year after year with. You know, whether it's an administration priority or initiative. So we supported the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, the wireless devices plan services program, and that was awarded last May. At the same time, we were working on digital government strategy with OMB and the agencies, and I think it's number 5.5. We worked to launch what we call the Mobile Device Management Platform, and it really is a portal for agencies to understand sort of that mobile device, mobile application management. You know, where can they go to purchase services in that space? What contracts are already available? What companies provide those services? How would you structure a request for proposal or your solicitation? What kinds of things do you need to ask for? You know, what would your requirements look like? So that's a resource for all agencies to use. And we back that resource up with not only GSA contracts, but there's other agency contracts, you know, that can be used to purchase those kinds of services, as well as we in ITS really work to have people that are technical as well as acquisition experts in all of the areas that we support. So it's not just we're developing contracts, but we're also providing resources to the agency to best use those contracts, to train them on the contracts, to provide the templates or scope reviews, or just even advice on, you know, whether it's a GSA contract or someone else's contract, where you can get what you need.
Okay, and Mark, I know you're the guy up in the clouds, so I want to ask you a couple cloud questions first. But my understanding is that you've seen some significant growth in cloud task orders under the GWACs in particular over the last couple of years. Can you talk a little bit about that and where you're going with cloud?
Sure. Cloud is a growing phenomenon, as we all know. Many people converting to as a service type purchases. And what we're seeing is the initial cloud contracts that we put in place as BPAs were ones which helped us focus on pure cloud, people who needed a pure cloud service like storage or hosting, website hosting, were able to do that. We also discovered, though, as this market grows and as it matures, that most agencies need, for their more complex cloud things, they need integration support. They need to know how to make the cloud work with the legacy environment they own. And so the GWAC program turns out to be a very good way to do that. And so many agencies are coming to one of the government-wide contracts, Alliant Small Business, and they are fashioning both their cloud service and the integration support that allows them to have a holistic solution and not to have something where they have to manage it piece parts, which is more difficult for them.
Sure. And on that note, you've built on that foundation. You've done some interesting things with mobile devices and just the program at that $23 billion mark year in, year out. Well, what are you looking to do in 2014? How are you going to grow market share? We hear a lot about market share.
You hear a lot about growing market share. And the point that we always make is it's not, GSA, as I said, was put in place to help support mission needs of agencies where we're buying common goods and services. And so whether it's office supplies or furniture or the fleet or the travel program, that's what we're here to support. And IT, of course, there's a lot of commonality in what agencies are buying. And so this really is about what additional support or value can we provide to support that buying. And there's obviously been a lot of talk about IT procurement. Especially over the last year. And I keep hearing, what do we do to fix it? A multifaceted question with lots of complexity and different ways to address it. But one of the ways that we believe we can help address it is to focus on what we're calling categories of spend. So, we're very focused, for instance, on telecommunications. We have a very large national as well as regional telecommunications program that also has a satellite component to it. There's, as I mentioned, the wireless component. We're really working closely with agencies on what does that market look like? Where are things going, from the traditional voice into IP-based services? How do we set up our contracts to support that buying, especially as agencies are going sort of less centralized or less decentralized and more centralized? How do we best understand those needs? How do we put in place the contracts that enable that access to the right solutions through the right companies? And again, giving people experts and access to information. And so we're focused in six different categories in ITS to really better address the way that agencies need to be buying IT, whether it's, we got to do data center consolidation and outsourcing, we need a new financial management system, whatever those things are that GSA can act as sort of a place to go to either we can hook you up with another agency that may have done it, we can give you a statement of work, we can do a scope review. We can, give you advice on contract options or, just requirements. So that's really where we're focused now, is moving away from that, let's put in place more contracts to let's be smarter about what we're buying and how we buy across government and share that and then help people make those buys.
Okay. And you mentioned something, six categories. Is that I'm guessing that's like,
test,
no,
right?
This is a test for me. This
okay,
is like,
you said
I'm it. Guessing, yeah. My guess is that's like the idea of category management that's sort of being implemented across the federal acquisition service.
Across all of FAS.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you, talk a little bit about what that is and what the vision of that is?
Yeah. So for instance, when I started off, I talked about like the travel program. That is a category, right? Government travels. And there is, we've had in place a long time, a system that supports government-wide travel. The fleet and automotive program. Professional services is another category. And, for many years, FAS has had a lot of GSA schedules that support different kinds of professional services.
Nothing to worry about here in the studio. Go ahead. Keep going, Mark.
I fell out of the chair. No. So, you know, with the putting in place OASIS as an example, that is looking across different kinds of professional services and making it easier for agencies to buy rather than try to figure out which schedule do I need to go to if my requirement maybe crosses schedules, you know, based on what kind of professional services I need. If there's an IT flavor in it, what do I do? So again, it's really about and also understanding what agencies are buying. So we're really looking closely at spend data in different areas and trying to figure out how we then best structure our contracts to better support that spend. That's just going on across FAS.
Okay. And Mary, right now we do have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more to Mary Davey. She is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service, and Mark Day, Deputy Assistant Commissioner for ITS. And when we come back, you know, I want to pick up a little bit. Mary mentioned telecom real briefly, and we'll talk about, you know, the transition from FTS 2001 to networks and lessons learned and where are we going from there. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
CACI delivers innovative information solutions and services to serve America's highest priorities, advancing efficiency and performance with business systems, countering the effects of complex threats with integrated security solutions, providing healthcare solutions for better, more affordable care, defending the nation against cyber threats, and helping veterans with its award-winning career-building program. CACI. Information deployed, solutions advanced. Missions accomplished. CACI, ever vigilant.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guests are Mary Davey and Mark Day from the Integrated Technology Service. And guys, when we took the break, I know one of the things, Mary, you touched on real briefly in the first segment, it was a little bit about telecom. And you know, now we've sort of gone through the transition from FTS 2001, and I was still at GSA when that...
And
started, I think, not to be not to networks, and you know, now we're going to be thinking about what's next. Can you talk a little bit about the transition and lessons learned and where you see things going in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. We did complete transition last year. That was another 2013 achievement, and everybody was glad to get that behind us. And as a result, we did really learn a lot. And I think the transition is something that you need to plan for when you're beginning to think about a new contract and a new offering and how the program's going to run. Because, you know, when I walked into ITS, I was an IT acquisition person. And I kept hearing all these things about telecommunications acquisition and transition and how complicated it was. And I kept thinking, well, why is that? Well, I have since learned that it is a complex environment and there's a whole lot that goes into it, whether or not it's agencies that have, you know, 100,000 calling cards out there, or whether they've got a large data network that they're trying to move, or really not just transition from one contract to another, but as they start to think through, you know, how are they going to evolve the network? You know, when they move to IP-based or a brand new technology platform, or they're thinking of, you know, putting something out for bid, they're going to be working with different carriers. And that wasn't the way it was in the old program. You know, you kind of pick a carrier and you decide how your requirement's going to be structured and you both move forward. So there's a lot more market research to do. There's a lot of homework to do. There's so many changes that happen with technology, and that's happening so quickly. And now, of course, people have the option of, do we manage our own stuff or do we move it off and do a managed service? Do we go to a cloud-based solution? So all of those options made things a little bit more complex. And at the same time, we were changing the way agencies were buying. When they went to networks, there was now the competition requirement, and that had not
been
part of it before. Mm-hmm. So they had to figure out, well, how do we do fair opportunity in this environment? How do we structure solicitation? And while we had talked about some of that, as it started to really take effect and become real, there was a lot of recognition that, you know, we weren't maybe well prepared to deal with all those things at the same time. And that sort of accounted for some of the delays and just the complexity of the decisions that needed to be made. So we have been looking very closely at the entire program for really the last couple of years. So as transition was finishing up, our folks looked at, you know, how has the market changed in the way that our contracts are structured? We have a national contract like networks, and we have lots of regional contracts,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
So that's all got to change. the services that we provide to the agencies to support them through making their technical decisions or their fair opportunity decisions or understanding requirements or the technology or the contract itself, that's all changing. We looked at, you know, the really great things about networks that also causes a little bit more work is we have such a detailed understanding of what agencies are buying line item by line item, circuit by circuit. The inventory is there. There is great ability to look at what the commercial market pays for those things and what we're able to get on networks. Last year alone, we saved $675 million with agency buys on networks. And we have to be able to look at that and have that inventory for agencies to successfully transition. But again, it takes a lot of work. There's a lot of, you know, manual sort of analysis on that, the billing, the ordering system. So we've looked at every component of this program, and we'll be changing that moving forward, you know, having discussions with industry and the agencies to understand where that needs to go.
And is there, what's the sort of your timeline horizon for like these discussions? And I know you started some of them already.
Yeah, we've been engaged. We started with an executive advisory group at the CIO and CAO level about a year and a half ago. And then that has become monthly meetings with senior level, again, procurement, as well as IT and telecommunications executives in the agencies. And we talk about specific topics around systems, around ordering, around contract structure, transition. We just had them in last week, as a matter of fact. And it's a very well-attended group because there's obviously a lot of interest.
Sure.
In how to lessen the cost, take advantage of additional cost savings, make it easier, you know, where we can. And we're talking about all kinds of different ways to approach this. And we've engaged industry groups like ACT-IAC and the Shared Interest Group. They're working it from an industry side. So tons of engagement this time. And people sort of take a deep breath when I say we have 3 years left on networks. So, well, we just finished transition. We have to think about this already. The answer is yes, but we're also looking at how do we phase a transition so that it's not one big, everybody goes at one time and starts to try to transition everything all over again. It's just that didn't work, and we know that. So that's why we're looking at what options, you know, do we have? What contracts are already in place that people could take advantage of?
Sure, sure. So, and one thing you mentioned, too, is a lot of the data you had about the line item pricing and that sort of thing, and I know that's an area that you guys have been focusing on. So, Mark, I want to that you address sort of prices paid information and that data collection and what you guys are doing and, you know, what are you doing with that data?
Sure. Well, you're right. There's a lot of focus on prices paid these days. Every program, GWAC program, the MAS modernization, looking at horizontal and vertical pricing, National Commodities Program, the FSSI model, the Federal Strategic Sourcing Model, all look at prices paid. And the goal here is pretty simple. Do we know what we pay for various things? And do we know, in the GWAC program, for example, we looked at it from the perspective of the high, the medium, and the low price, so that a contract officer doing their market research, a contract officer trying to understand the future cost of something they were thinking about putting in place, they could come to that resource and say, what have others paid in the past for that type of service? Now, there's a lot of details there that somebody could get into. What's the classification level, the security classification, what's the geography where it was performed? So we know it's not a perfect tool for perfect comparisons, but it is a tool that the CO can use to get a lot smarter and make a lot more informed decisions about their price estimates, about what is a reasonable price when proposals come in. It allows them to be better negotiators, and it allows us to begin to understand the market. And as we understand the market, we can move those highs down, hopefully. We can save the taxpayers dollars by showing that we're doing a better job being a smarter, more informed consumer, and we know where the price variability is actually at. Is that variability driven by real needs? Or did we actually introduce variability just by asking for a requirement that maybe wasn't the most important requirement? Those kinds of analyses make us a smarter buyer, both GSA as a buyer and the agencies that we serve. So we're really creating a marketplace tool.
All right. So, and Mark, with that, you know, one of the things, you know, you've made for various things, I think the key, you touched on it just briefly, is, you know, price alone is incomplete data. So to the extent you get information about terms and conditions or, you know, the statement of work or that kind of thing, I think it's that better informs the contracting officer making those business decisions. And my understanding is you've done sort of that sort of work with software licensing and that sort of thing. Can you talk a little bit about what you've done there?
Sure. we've started looking at different ways to analyze the software licensing market. And one of the things we discovered was that terms and conditions are quite complex on many of these licenses.
Surprise, surprise, huh?
Right. and maybe more complex than any of us actually knew, including even some of the resellers. And so we began to work with the agencies. For example, in one case, we collected 16 major agency enterprise licenses, put them into a database, and began to sort out by every product, what is the real pricing? And that's not easy to do. Resellers put different item numbers on these things because they represent their item numbers. Well, how do you compare across resellers? We began to look at, well, do you have authority to use that software off the corporate network, so to speak? Do you not have authority to do that? Do you have authority to use, pay for it by user or by machine? All of these things have a real impact on cost. And one of the things we're trying to do is help our customers and help the industry look for efficiencies where we can actually lower the administrative cost and the burden, what you might call total cost of ownership. Using this analysis, we can make the total cost of ownership much lower and the cost of providing to the government much lower if every agency is kind of buying in a similar manner.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And you know what? We're already up on the break, man. That was a quick segment. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Mary Davey and Mark Day from the Integrated Technology Service. I'm going to keep that straight.
MD simple. Squared.
Right. You know what? You know, yeah, exactly. Very good. I like that. I'm going to use that. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit. I want to hear a little bit more about ComSatCom and what the future of that looks like. And then we talk a little bit about mass modernization and what that is. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The mission of government involves critical efforts to improve national defense, economic security, health services, and citizens' lives. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to help government address cyber threats, reform the financial system, modernize infrastructure, and protect our nation. For nearly 100 years, Booz Allen has partnered with clients to deliver results that endure. To see Booz Allen's ideas in action, visit BoozAllen.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guests are MD Squared. That's Mary Davey and Mark Day. Mary is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service, and Mark is the Deputy Assistant Commissioner for ITS. And, you know, what I mentioned when we were taking the breaks, we talked about ComSatCom and, you know, a couple other things. But first, Mark, I wanted to go back on the data issue and prices paid, and just to get your sense of what you're seeing as the biggest challenges to sort of getting the data and then using the data.
Sure. Well, there's three really big challenges that come with this. First, we know there's a cost. There's a cost to industry and there's a cost to government to manage the collection and analysis of that data. So, of course, there is a cost. So we're always very careful to try to understand what burdens we're placing where and to make sure that it's well used and well founded. Second, there is concern. There are non-disclosure agreements. And there's always concerns about exactly how do we do this disclosure? How do we protect company confidential data, but still inform the federal community where the buyers are? And to make sure that we're balancing that correctly is an important part of the job. And then third, comparability of data is its own challenge. And trying to make sure that as we collect the data, we collect the right factors to actually analyze the data successfully without collecting so many factors that the cost is too big. And that's really a balancing act again to make that right.
Right, and that last one is the idea of what you're collecting that better informs the buyer or the contracting officer or the source selection team, whatever, you know, and again, go back to what we talked about in the last segment, price alone is not There's got to be some other factors built into that to be have that comparability.
Right.
And you don't want to collect too much, but you also don't, you know, sounds to me like you don't want to collect too little because, you know, from a, you know, from a company's perspective, one price for one deal might be very, very different than the price for another deal at a different point in time and different requirements. So, you know, now let's talk a little bit about ComSatCom and where that's going. I know you guys have partnered with DISA over the last couple of years or so, maybe even a little longer that, on the satellite communications support across the federal enterprise and for DOD in particular. Can you talk about what you've done there and where things are going?
Yeah, Mary? Absolutely. So ComSatCom is an acronym within an acronym. So some people...
Funny how the government does that, right?
Isn't it? You may have heard of it addressed as FCSA. So the Future ComSatCom Services Acquisition was the actual effort to put in place the ComSatCom program, which is commercial satellite communications. See?
Hey, there you go.
I know, look at that. Like... And we did work with DISA. When GSA was, when our satellite contracts were starting to expire, this is what was also looking at, you know, what their needs were and the future of their program. And we had great relationships between GSA and DOD with the folks at the time. And they agreed that it didn't make sense to go down two very similar paths separately. And by satisfying DOD's needs and GSA's role, really looking at also what the civilian needs were, let's just do a joint program. And that's really what that did. It has been a couple of years, and there's a couple really neat components to it. There's a commercial aspect of it, so providing, you know, transponding capacity and the commercial side of that through Schedule 70. So they use Schedule 70 for part of that. Then they put in place an IDIQ, or indefinite quantity, indefinite delivery. For the custom side of that. And then we also have a small business component and a large business component. And actually more work has run through the small business side of that to date. And we have had a lot of interest, and you know, DOD is moving all kinds of work through that program. And you know, again, with looking at where we are, what the usage is, where things are going, that's another area where we're already starting to think, well, what's next? You know, what,
sure.
How we've got to start thinking about the planning process and when that would need to start with an acquisition. Because of that success, you know, we've built some great relationships with DISA, and they're, you know, going down the path of cloud and cloud broker and doing that for DOD. They obviously have a lot in the way of network services needs. They're doing a lot with security and with mobile. So we are having, you know, just ongoing discussions to understand where each of us are and what the opportunities are for us to work together on other things, you know, in addition to satellite. So having discussions and talking about, you know, opportunities now for network services, as well as bringing them into our NS 2020 program and how to make it, again, our joint program.
Sure.
This is not a GSA contract or a GSA program. So those are really, to me, exciting opportunities for government and, you know, for industry as a whole. So that's where that program is.
Okay. And I got to check all the boxes right here. So and can you guys talk a little bit about Alliant and how that's performed? And, you know, we've already started seeing, you know, and talk to you guys all about the Alliant follow-on, or, you know, Alliant Next Gen, whatever,
yeah.
Whatever you guys are going to call it. Alliant Squared.
It seems like we're always in this mode of next, you know,
right, we just
put something in place, it's off and running, and then we have to start thinking about, well, it doesn't have a forever life.
Sure. And I think to ITS's credit, you know, looking at Alliant and getting moving on that so that you don't lose contract coverage, frankly, right? And getting it in place before the current contract is expired is definitely the right thing to do. So
yeah, and I think, you know, there's, and I'll let Mark talk about this too, there's a lot of focus on Alliant because it's the big GWAC. But you know, there is the Alliant Small Business Contract, and those run concurrently pretty much. But then there's VETS, you know, the veteran owned contract vehicle, as well as the 8A STARS. So we have, you know, options for agencies to get to small businesses through GWAC programs as well. So we look at all of those as a complement to each other. And, you know, as we start looking at Alliant 2 and Alliant Small Business 2, we also need to make sure that, you know, the VETS GWAC and the 8A STARS GWAC are also continuing to perform and looking at the life cycle of those needs. But yeah, we have recently just kicked off Alliant
yes,
2
yes,
with opening
sure
up
have.
Our interact.gsa.gov website to get industry input and get agency, you know, how has this worked well for you? What else should we do with this? It's built on enterprise architecture. It's worked great to support changes in technology and broad scope and complex solutions. So Mark ran that program for a while, and I'll let you talk more about where that seems to be going.
Sure. Well, and exactly. The program is
that's where most successful. Of the cloud stuff
yes.
has come through. Yeah.
Most
yeah.
of the cloud stuff has gone there. And the reason is very straightforward. Built on the enterprise architecture, the scope is sufficient for any technology need, for any innovation that comes along in the technology. Really, it's within the federal enterprise architecture, and therefore it can be accommodated under this contract. That is essentially an evergreen approach to innovation of technology. It's part
sure,
of the
yeah.
architecture. You can do it. That's
right.
critical. Why start now, even though there are a number of years left on the contract? It's very simple. Most of our contracts on these large, complex programs need 5 years to pay for the cost of transition. They can't be doing transitions 2-3 year periods. They need to do longer periods to pay for the cost of what is a complex transition. Therefore, the customer coming in wants a 5-year, 10-year runway to use the contract. If we let the contract go down to its last year before the new one comes into place, customers cannot start new work with us that last
right.
4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
We need a place where customers coming in always have at least 5 years and somewhere between 5 and 10 years of capacity to do their work in order to make it economical to do their transition cost planning and allow them to actually budget and be good stewards of their money.
Right.
Although I think agencies sometimes forget that, you know, when you issue a task order against a GWAC, you can issue a 5-year task order the day that GWAC is expiring. So it does allow for additional
yeah, you have the contract clauses in
right.
there that allow for that.
Yeah,
yep,
right.
absolutely. So, well, guys, you know what? We're already up on the last break. So when we come back, we'll talk more to MD Squared, Mary Davey, and Mark Day. Mary is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service, and Mark is the Deputy Assistant Commissioner for ITS. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
These days, it seems everyone's talking about the new normal, but federal agencies have a chance to define it. How will you shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. We understand what makes America work and how it can work better. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we can help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, or even change the game. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guests are Mary Davey, Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at GSA, and Mark Day, Deputy Assistant Commissioner for ITS. And guys, you know, this last segment, we'll try to touch as many things as we can. Yeah, but first, I wanted to ask you or just get your thoughts or input on multiple award schedule modernization. I could say that fast
today.
10 times. What is that and what's going on in that space?
So as most people know or might guess, the multiple award schedule program is by far the largest that FAS operates. And there's, you know, IT Schedule 70, but then there's professional services schedule. There's schedules that support package delivery and travel. So that program's been in place for a long time, you know, 20 plus years. I've been there longer. Anyway,
don't date you. I'm going
right?
to bite my tongue
no.
there, Mary.
Okay, thank you, Roger.
We started about the same time.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I know it looks that way.
Okay, now we're way off topic.
Right.
You know, that program is one that's widely used across government, and it's used to support. It was, you know, initially put in place for commercial items, and it started off largely as, you know, how do you access commercial products? Over the years, of course, the services area really took off under schedules. And so as our environment has changed, as the purchasing arena has changed, as what companies are offering has changed, we know that that program and the way it operates needs to be updated as well. And so, you know, even things that getting us into out of paper, right, e-offer, e-mod, and supporting that kind of process to make it easier for industry to submit, you know, bids and their proposals and for us to evaluate and then manage them. That's part of it. Another thing that we heard from agencies is because Schedules is really designed to support almost anybody that wants to come and offer their products or services to the federal government, it supports the ability to do that, you know, going through this process. And it, and GSA acts as sort of the first entry point so that we do the due diligence looking at, you know, the pricing and what the offer is and does it meet, you know, commercial terms and conditions. We do comparisons of what those companies are offering to other customers. And it's sort of just that first step of evaluation, but really it's incumbent upon the agencies when they have a specific requirement to get competition. Don't just rely on, you know, what you may have found on the website or some market research, you know, through the e-library. Use the e-buy tool. Solicit bids and interest and you know, let people know what you're looking for. So because of the purpose of that program, it's really grown into thousands and thousands of companies on Schedule. And some of what we've heard from agencies is because it's so large now, it makes it hard to sort of figure out, you know, where do you even start with who could support this requirement. So part of that process too is looking at compliance with contract terms. And if companies have a schedule in place and they haven't met the minimum sales guarantees, then we start having conversations with them about whether or not they want to maintain their schedule. And if they do, what's their opportunity pipeline look like? So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you have to at some point, just from a management perspective, and does the company still want that as part of their tool and their business, you know, what they're looking to do? Looking at the price variability for the same items across different manufacturers or different resellers, the GSA Advantage tool provides people with a place to get comparisons. But again, because there's millions of items out there, it makes it hard to say, am I getting the best price for this product? And that the pricing side of it's really focused right now on the products of, you know, what's available. So standardizing part numbers, doing some tools that allow for horizontal price comparisons against those standard, you know, products with the same terms and conditions, just making it, you know, easier to buy. And then making the GSA resources more accessible and available to help people make those decisions. And that's whether or not you want your company and you want to get on schedule, or whether you're an agency and you want to use the schedule. So we've consolidated contact center. We've got tier one and tier two now out of the National Call Center and GSA that support the program. We do a lot of training and outreach both to industry and to agencies. And so we're looking at many aspects of the program just to, you know, make it easier for people to use that program and to make it more efficient in the buying.
Yeah, and well, we, you know, I'm looking forward to see how that modernization goes. And because it is, you know, if you want to drive market share, which we hear about from the commissioner a lot, you know, you've got to start with your biggest piece of the market share and try to make that better.
Yes,
so, in
absolutely.
The long run. So, and another area I wanted to ask you guys about, because I know there's just that joint DOD-GSA report on cyber, you know, Mark, Mary, whichever guys want, you guys want to tackle that, but, you know, what's going on? What are you guys looking at with regard to cyber, and what do you see your role as?
Well, obviously, as a major purchaser for the federal government, we have a major role helping agencies know that what they're buying is actually secure product. There's a lot of security chain. What is the supply chain behind the products that are bought? How do we make sure that there's a secure awareness of where everything's coming from and that the pieces are actually secure and meet the requirements that we want to do? February 2013 executive order was put out. A lot of things that we're required to do, a lot of things that are going on. It's been updated with the agreement, as you mentioned, between DOD and GSA. There's a real interagency working group trying to solve and work on these various areas. There's six areas that I might mention. Baseline cybersecurity requirements for contract award. That's a fairly major undertaking.
Yes, it is. Yeah, sure is.
And that secure supply chain is a major part of that solution process. Cybersecurity and acquisition training, making sure that the contract officers who use our tools really are aware of what cybersecurity is all about and how they can use different tools to help themselves. We're going to have more definition. It's nice to say it's secure. Well, what does that mean? FedRAMP went a long way towards that in the cloud space. How do we increase that in other parts of the buying process? And then making sure that we have original equipment manufacturer is really where we're getting the product from. Their authorized resellers or their trusted sources. Because if we're buying from someone that isn't really their trusted source, then the supply chain has broken down and that there's been an intervention in the supply chain. And that's something we've got to make sure and help police and help our customers police. And finally, it's part of cyber risk. Now, GSA can't make risk decisions for other agencies. So we have to be careful to allow that they will make their own risk assessments, but we have to make sure that they know what they're buying and that they can make that assessment with a fairly reasonable assurance that what they bought is what they thought they were buying within the risk profile they've decided to implement.
Yeah, and I think a big a piece of that is with the secure supply chain and the resellers, you know, because GSA's schedule has a lot of resellers on it.
Sure.
We found out from one of the big companies that they, out of all the resellers that sell their stuff, there are only three that they can guarantee if you buy from, you're going to get their original equipment. So that's something that we need to know. You know, how does GSA understand that, help police it, if you will, or make that information available? So we work very closely with the Office of Government-Wide Policy, right? They're looking at cybersecurity. ITS has a cyber group, and we really look to translate the policy into the acquisitions and make sure that the acquisitions we do on behalf of government, you know, take into account all of these factors where we need to and put them in our acquisitions.
Right. And well, it seems to me that one of the, I mean, the tensions here or the challenges will be, you know, commercial practice versus what the government is looking to do. And, you know, do they connect or are there things being done commercially that are, or what the government intends to do is so much different than what's commercial that you actually make it more difficult to get, you know, basic commercial products. I mean, is that something you guys are thinking about or?
Very aware of that. A little bit of good news there. FedRAMP is probably where commercial practice is going. Many external groups that have no reason to worry about FedRAMP as a cloud security thing for purchasing reasons are coming and looking at that as a program and a baseline to use in their own industry. So we're beginning to see that because the government is doing a very good job of setting cybersecurity standards, setting cybersecurity processes in place, the commercial market is actually looking at our tools and beginning to adopt them. And I think that's probably going to improve the robustness of what we can do.
Yeah, and trusted internet connection might be another example of that.
Yep.
You know, the government needed to figure out where it was touching cyberspace. And so the mandate to really look at TIP, and that led to the MTIPS, and I don't know that I can remember that one off the top of my head. On the networks contract, but that really, the carriers then had
I'm not going to help you out on that
okay,
one.
Okay, Google it somewhere.
Okay.
That really led the carriers to have to develop a solution that wasn't commercially available, but, you know, there's a lot of benefit to that, and the agencies are starting to use that, and that, again, helps us with the security aspect.
Sure. Well, you know what? We are at the end of our show. So, and it's such a shame. I've got to end the show with MD Squared, Mary Davey, the Assistant Commissioner for Integrated Technology Service, and Mark Day, the Deputy Assistant Commissioner for ITS from GSA. Great guys, great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much
for all this information. Look forward to having you back. And you have been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.